well done for the energy to stand up there. Who has not been here over the whole weekend? Okay, well, please lend us your energy and your enthusiasm, because our spirit is excited and our bodies may be a little bit tired. So during the worship, I had this vision where I saw people grabbing all of the keys, a whole set of keys from the conference, but trying to shove all of the keys all at once into the door. And it was getting jammed. Nothing was working, nothing was opening, everything's sort of trying to get in. And then I saw another group of people grab the keys, look at them, and put them in their box, their conference box, and put it back up on the shelf. Neither is going to be beneficial. And I really want to bring a word that the Lord sort of gave me earlier in the week. I said, look, Sunday afternoon, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to bring? And it sort of unpacked a little bit at the beginning of the week, but more yesterday afternoon. But I want to bring a message really to respond to the amazing teaching that we've received over the last 3 weeks. And to bridge that place of where I am now and where I want to be, commanding the sun to stand still so that I can finish, tearing apart my enemies. You know, that's that. Like, how do I bridge where I'm at and the sun stands still? And the sun literally stood still. It wasn't, it's not a poetic, the sun stood still so he could complete defeating the enemy. And that's where we want to be, right? So between where we are now and there's a little bit of a distance, I imagine, unless you're all somewhere I'm not. But I felt to then pull back a little bit, and I think I spoke to the interns on Wednesday about the Lord had started to speak to me some time ago about the ebb and flow of worship. And when we get these amazing moments in worship where there's this flooding of the Spirit and you just go higher and higher and higher, not to miss the beauty of the moments that it pulls back. And we get to see the treasures that are left on the sand and the treasures that are left under the wave that have brought them in. And so now coming into this season, we've just had this amazing wave of teaching, this amazing wave of revelation come over us. Don't miss this season now of looking at it and unpacking the treasures that have been left behind. Don't walk away from the beach thinking that the wave was the outcome, when really it's the treasures that have been left for us to pick up that actually we need to engage with. Don't miss this season now, this beautiful season of unpacking. So I love what Dan said on Friday afternoon when he was referring to identity, and I paraphrase it. I did try to write it down word for word. But he said, as a son, I am qualified, but to function at the high levels that we want to function at, we actually need to be able to carry weight. And I think about, when I received my law degree, I was qualified, but I certainly was not functional. I certainly was not able to walk into the High Court of Australia and challenge some of our constitution or challenge some of our laws and make a difference in that place, because I, although qualified, I had my piece of paper and I had the right to go in. I yet did not have the capacity to carry the weight and the knowledge and all of the understanding and the wisdom that I needed to actually walk out my qualification in a high place. I had to start at the magistrate's court. I was thrown in the deep end by my boss at the time, who just handed me a file. It said, go down, it'll be an easy adjournment. So I walk in, I don't even know who to give my name to, how to approach. So I fumbled my way through that, only to be told that there will be no more adjournments, and my clients got pulled out of the courtroom into jail. This is the first week. So whilst I was qualified, I certainly was not able to function in that place. And my boss knew that that would happen. And he knew that the judge wouldn't grant an adjournment. And he thought, best I go and face the wrath of the judge at the time than him. So I learned quickly. Amazingly, trials like that do teach us fast, either to sink or swim, and I decided that I would swim. Many of my colleagues, within a year, I'm done with this. And that actually is part of how we actually need to learn how to carry weight. We actually have to go through trials and tribulations. We have to understand and see them for what they are and not allow things that are difficult or things that are hard to crush us and to cause us to step off of destiny or step off of scroll because it was just hard and it hurt. And lucky we have a God who understands our pain that we can bring that to him and go, that was hard and that hurt. Can you help fix that hard and hurt, but help me and show me how I walk through on the next occasion to actually be stronger and actually be able to walk through that weight? I believe that this is the season that we're in now, to shore up our identity, to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, to know who we are, to find ourselves increasingly in him, in increasing measure, so that we can hold and administrate sonship. Dan said that when we approach God without agenda, he will directly address the issue of identity. If we come before the Lord and we're just like, we've got no agenda, he will start speaking to the core, very core of who we are immediately. The very core of who we're called to be immediately. See, we need to function at these high levels of priesthood that Dan's been talking about. But to do so, we don't only have to know cognitively who we are, but we actually have to be able to walk in who we are, walk out who we are. So I want to look at Revelation 2:26. Yeah, I'm going to read it from here. So the one who conquers, or to the one who overcomes, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. I will give him authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces. And I would love to unpack that for this whole time, but I shall just move past it for now. Even as myself has received authority, but there's actually something in the brokenness. So I just want to highlight that there's something in the brokenness here that actually allows us to lay hold of authority. Even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And then Revelation 3:12. The one who conquers, so again, the one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And this is the one that Dan referred to. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. In order to be a pillar, we have to be load-bearing. We actually have to be able to carry weight. And this is what we need to lean in this season. It says, to him who overcomes. So there's an overcoming there. And keeps my works. This is back Revelation 2:26. He who overcomes continues in the labor. So there's an activity. There's a laying hold of an action there. That then produces authority. To him who overcomes is not just overcoming an external pressure, but it's an internal consecration of our will until we can say in every circumstance, not my will, but your will be done. And this is actually so important. I keep saying actually. This is so important in order for us to learn how to submit our will to his will. Because it's only in that place that we do not defile the resources of heaven. See, all of these resources that Dan has been speaking about, the elementals and the energies and the very creation of the Lord, in all of those things, if at any point we engage in that our will above his will, we defile those things. We use them for our own gain. We use them for our own wealth. We use them for our own promotion, our own platform. And so in order for us to be able to be trusted with these lofty resources, with the high calling of the priesthood and kingship in heavenly places, we really need to be able to lay things down for not my will, but your will be done, Lord. In every situation, in every circumstance where we come to that place where we can freely say that and freely do that. It doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't always mean it's going to be the first thing that comes to mind. But that we have a pathway created in our world where we go, not my will, but your will be done. First, I'm going to seek your will before I walk out on this. First, I'm going to see if this is what you want to do, if these are your ways, if this is your purpose. And we come to a place of, okay, this is your will. And then we know we're in safety. Right? We know that we're using things well. We know that we're engaging things safely when we engage them from the place of it is his will and unto his will and for his kingdom and for his glory and honor. So all of these things that we engage, these lofty, amazing things of heaven, we need to engage them from that place. And in order to engage them from that place, we have to know how to consecrate our lives. One of the words over this house, the Lord spoke this to Todd some years ago, and then he's spoken it over this house, is from Isaiah 22:23. And it says, I will fasten him like a peg in a secure place, and he will become a throne of honor in his father's house. See, there's a process there. The peg isn't necessarily a thing of honor. But as it is driven in and it allows itself to be driven deep into the rock, deep into that place, it becomes secure. And then the Lord can lay his authority and his weight on that. And when the Lord, and we will allow the Lord to drive us into secure places, allow us to become a place he can rest his weight on, then that place becomes a throne of honor. It becomes a place where the Lord comes and dwells and sits, and the authority of the Lord can actually flow out of that place. So back to the word overcome. The word overcome in the Greek is, let me say, Nikeo. It actually is where my daughter's name comes from, Nicola. And it actually means to subdue or get victory. Nicola means a victory of the people. And so this word to overcome actually means to subdue, to put under, or to get the victory. And it reminds me of our original design in Genesis 1:28, where God commands that we fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over it, actually take our place in it. And subdue there in the Hebrew means to tread down, to conquer, to subjugate. And dominion means to subjugate or prevail against, to reign or rule over. In other words, to put it under my feet. So when it says to him who overcomes, it means to him who has put all things under our feet, like had victory over, being able to walk atop of, walk through, go over and not come under. To him who overcomes is the one who has been able to go over and not come under. So the process of, is everyone okay? Am I talking too fast? I'm not going to go long today. It'll be an early dismissal. All right. The process of functioning in a higher priesthood or kingship is the process of overcoming and prevailing against, taking responsibility, going through, saying yes to his ways and his paths. So like I said earlier in the week, I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to say? This was before the conference had started. What do you want me to say on Sunday afternoon after we've gone through this amazing conference and after all of this has been poured out? What do you want to say? And it popped so clearly to me what he wanted to say as I was actually turning up to work on Tuesday. And I don't generally get a lot of revelation walking into the law firm. That's not my place of download, but I'm walking in and this is what he said to me clearly. He said, I want you to tell the people this. When you walk in narrow places here on earth, you get to access the broad places in heaven. And when you walk in broad places on earth here, your access in heaven is narrow. Choose your heart. And so what is it that you want? What is it that you desire? You get full control and say over that. But you have to choose your heart. It's narrow here, broad there, or it's broad here and narrow there. You can't keep all your stuff here and have all the stuff there. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, which means we let go of all of our stuff here. Everything that weighs us down and is of consequence here, we let go and we seek first his kingdom. As a consequence of that, we get all the stuff. But it's not a hack, right? You don't get to hack your way into seek first the kingdom of God. And my real motivation for that is all the stuff. That's not seeking first the kingdom of God. And I know that that's like the motivation of many, many times over, because we go, okay, well, I need this. But the Lord says seek his kingdom. So in order to get this, I'm going to seek his kingdom. But that's always the motivation for seeking the kingdom. That's not seek first the kingdom. That is not seek, put the kingdom as priority. When we know him and we put the kingdom as priority, we don't fear lack of that. So it's not as though we go, I subscribe to the fact that seeking the kingdom first, I'm going to live in poverty, I'm going to live in lack, and I'm going to... No, that's not it either. It is that to seek the kingdom first, that my priority is him, and I know that in him I have all things. But that's a deep knowing of letting go of stuff, knowing that he's got you and that what he's got for you is the best that you could ever have, the best you could ever desire. And you can't really know that until you know him. You can't really know that until you know how very, very good he is. And you can't even know him until you let go of your stuff so that you can open your heart up to knowing him more and receiving his love. And Dan spoke about that this morning. If you did not hear this morning, please go back and listen to that. It was epic. So Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, no one wants to hear that. Difficult is the way. And I asked the Lord when I was reading that, I said, but what about this? Like, you know, this childlike thing, even a child can enter the kingdom of God. What about this? He goes, yes. And how hard is it to be childlike as an adult? I'm like, all right. Okay, then. Because that childlikeness is abandonment. It is genuinely that letting go. You know, a child and their parent, there's no... Well, depends on the age of the child and how hungry they always are, because Max is always wondering where his next meal is coming from, but... When they're really little, they don't wonder where their next meal is coming from. They just know it's coming. They don't concern themselves about the place that the provision is coming from. They just believe mum and dad have it. They just have it in order. And that's the childlike faith. It's like, I don't need to be concerned about where the next thing is coming from. I just abide in the presence of the Lord and I know that he's got it. He's got me. He will lead me. He will point me in paths of righteousness. He will point me into broad places. That word narrow there means straight, and it says it means narrow because of the obstacles. The obstacles that stand close about. There's actually a restriction in that place. It says narrow is the gate. There's obstacles around. There is no place to be able to carry big baggage with you. All of those things, you have to let go of them because it's narrow. There are so many obstacles to get through, to go through. But then on the other side, it says wide is the gate and broad is the way. And that means like wide means flat ground. Like it is easy. It is cruising in there. There are no obstacles. Broad means spacious, easy to get through. I think that's one of the first things that we should consider. If something's too easy, start to question, what is it about this? Now, is it because I've overcome and I'm above? Or is it because like this is the wide gate and a broad space that everybody's going down and I'm just following? It says, wide is the gate and broad is the way to destruction, meaning death, ruin, and waste. So it may be easy and it may seem fine at the time, but it actually leads to a waste of life, a waste, a ruin, and a death. When it talks about the narrow gate, it says difficult. The word difficult there means crowded, like closed in, crowded in. It actually means tribulation, means testing. There is the narrow road is difficult because it has testing and trials on it, but that is to prove you. That is to cause strength in you. If you're going to be a pillar, it has to be proved. It has to be weight-bearing. It has to be able to carry a load. It's interesting. Dan said this morning when he was talking about love and power, he said, if you want to be near someone with real power, be near the person who is walking through tribulation. Not escaping it, not running the other way from tribulation, but overcoming and walking through tribulation, because that is a person who's carrying power. What's concerning about this scripture in Matthew, in my opinion, is that the next verse goes on to warn about false prophets. And to my mind, that has to be connected. Right? It's like, there is a wide road. There is a broad place that leads to destruction. And then the next verse is a warning about false prophets. And that has to do with prophecies that keep people in broad places, on easy paths, that don't challenge people where they're at. The false prophets or false prophecies are those that won't call people out of where they are onto narrow places, but continue to confirm and allow people to stay in the easy way that leads to death. That's false. That is not the prophet of the Lord. The prophet of the Lord will always call the people out of the broad places onto the narrow paths that lead to life. Yes, it may be difficult. Yes, there may be a challenge. Yes, there may be things you need to correct in your life, but it will lead you to life and it will not allow you to continue on into hell, because that's where these broad pathways lead to. Then he took me to Psalms, Psalm 18:19. It says, he brought me out into broad places. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And that word brought me out is actually, he brought me out after calamity. So he pulled me through threat. He pulled me through or led me through calamity. Not escape again. He didn't take me around it. He didn't pull me out of it like the rapture. But he led me through it and then into the broad places. And it said, and he delivered me because he delights in me. The Lord delights to take us through, but he doesn't pull us out. He walks us through so that we have the capacity to function in the broad places. That we actually have the ability to carry the weight of what it is to function in the lofty places of the Lord. And essentially that scripture means this: he led me through tribulation, and that broad places is actually means he enlarged me. He actually created in me a greater territory. So when it says, you know, he took me into broad places, it's actually a place within us. He pulled me through difficult circumstances and difficult situations, knowing that he was always with me, allowed my capacity to be extended and expanded, and then I owned a larger place. That's walking the narrow path to access the broader places. And that's what he does. And why? Because he delights in us. It's his delight to walk us through, to lead us all the way out the other side so that he can expand us and he can create in us greater capacity. Since late last year, the Lord has continued to impress upon me the way is narrow, over and over and over. He keeps bringing it before me. Walk the narrow path. Take your steps carefully. Speak your words carefully. Measure your actions. Weigh up your reactions. The way is narrow. He's just kept saying it over and over and over again. In every situation that we've really been facing or having to deal with, like in the last 3 months, the Lord has kept saying, the way is narrow. Like, it's imperative that you walk on that narrow pathway. He says, keep bringing your heart before me and have it tested. Keep bringing your heart before me to have it tested in this reaction, in this action, in these words, in walking this way, like keeping bringing the heart. What's the motivation of my heart in this? What's the motivation of my heart in not doing this? Yeah, am I abdicating? Is it fear? Do I actually need to step out? If I step out, is it a bad reaction? Is it a good, like, everything. He just keeps, he's like, it's short accounts constantly. It's as though everything is being done in this season in full view of the throne of the Lord. Not in theory, you know, the Lord sees everything, but in practice. Like, I feel like every single decision or thought or word that I say is in full public view in heaven being scrutinized at the moment. It's the fear of the Lord in every word, action, and decision. Every action, motivation, word. And I asked the Lord, what is this? Like, why this scrutiny? And he said, it's being measured against what you've asked for. I'm like, okay. He goes, you have asked for a high and lofty thing. And that is what is on the other side of the scales. What I have asked for, if you've asked for broad places, if you've asked for the amazing things of the kingdom, high authority, high influence, if you've asked for those things, high impact, that is on the other side of the set of scales. And therefore, every action, the narrow path, everything we walk out is measured against that. That's what's sitting there. And sometimes I passed. And sometimes I failed and I got to do it again and sometimes again. Some of them I'm still doing again. But that's the grace of the Lord, because he won't allow me to step into the high and lofty things until I am ready to carry the weight of the high and lofty things. If we're to access these things, then we have to be able to walk on those places. And it was around that same time that in worship one day, my spirit jumps up and says, my life for your kingdom. And heaven responded. It's interesting. It was heaven that responded. It wasn't really the voice of the Lord. It was the voice of heaven. I can't necessarily explain that. But heaven responded and said, he who loses his life for my kingdom will keep it. My spirit got really excited by that response. My soul, not so much. Because I realized in that moment I had invited that set of scales to sort of be imprinted forever on my life. That level of scrutiny just got imprinted because of the confession of my spirit. My life for your kingdom is like, I will give it all for your kingdom. Let me have your kingdom. And then the set of scales just became imprinted on me. Now, everything I do, everything I say. In fact, I think that there were quite a few of us in that season who, like, you couldn't even, the Lord wouldn't even let us exaggerate a little bit. Like, you know, 10 million times I did it. And like, oh, sorry, not 10, it was 2. And we found ourselves, like, apologizing, like, over and over and over again for these, you know, crazy exaggerations, which wasn't deceiving anyone. But it got that the Lord got that serious in that season. It's like, no, stop. What are you saying? Think about it. Like, be truthful with everything you say. It got a little bit crazy. But here, what we do is we circle back around to the conversation that we've been having, the conversation of consecration. And Dan spoke this morning about laying down arms, laying down our own ways, our own protections, our own false refuge, all of those things, laying them down for the Lord and what the Lord has to say about that. I think sometimes we think consecration is just laying down like our sins or the bad things, but it's actually so much simpler than that. It's laying down everything that is not Him. Every idol, every false refuge, every will, everything that's not Him. I was, this is how the Lord speaks to me. I was walking to my office with a bag over my arm, and I was holding a cup of coffee in this hand where my bag was, and it started to wobble, and I was almost spilling coffee everywhere. And the Lord says to me, "Swap hands." I'm like, "All right." I swap hands, and it's steady. And the Lord spoke to me straight away. He said, "Whenever you're carrying anything that you shouldn't be carrying, it will cause you to wobble. You need to put it down, and it will be steady." And that's really the invitation for this afternoon, is what is it that you need to lay down that makes you wobble? What is it that you need to lay down that causes us to not be able to walk in the higher places? But first, count the cost. Decide what you want. Decide what you want from Him, where you want to live. Don't put all of the keys that you've received over the weekend away and not touch them and look at, but pull them out. Pull them out one by one. Pull them out as the Lord leads and say, "What will this cost me? What do I need to lay down? How? What set of scales does need to come into my life in order for me to walk in these high places? What shall I lay down for you? What shall I lay down for your kingdom? What shall I give you of my life so that I can walk in these higher places? What motivation of my heart or my world needs to be adjusted so that I can be trusted with resources, the resources of heaven, the elementals, all of the beautiful things that the Lord's given us to empower us to walk in victory and land the kingdom of heaven on earth? But what will it cost me, Lord? What do I need to lay down to walk in those things?" And I really believe that this is the season that we're coming into where the waves come over. Now look at the treasures and ask Him, which ones belong to you? Which ones are you meant to walk into? And how do you now start to walk on narrow pathways, narrow ways, so that you can access the broad places of the kingdom of heaven? So if we can just put the pads on, I'm going to land it there. Let's just take communion. See how kind I am? It's only 4:00 and I'm going to release you in a minute. So you can go and find some treasures. Spirit, we just thank you for this whole week. We just thank you for this whole season of Dan coming and revealing to us more elements of the kingdom of God, different things, Lord, that you're inviting us into, the mysteries of heaven, Lord, that you're revealing to us in this season. We thank you, Lord, that you love the earth. We thank you, Lord, that you love your people. We thank you, Lord, that you love all of creation and you have called us to be part of its restoration, part of caring for it, part of facilitating its purpose in giving you glory. We thank you, Lord, that you died to bring us back into relationship with you, that we would be able to know and move in the power of the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your body. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord, that you are our all in all. And Lord, just over this next time, would you start to reveal to us our purpose, the places we're meant to be walking in, the broad places of heaven. And Lord, would you show us the narrow paths we're meant to walk on earth? Would you show us the things that are hindering us from walking on those pathways? And would you grace us and empower us to let those things go? Let's just take communion. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for rest this evening and tomorrow. Would you bless your people in Jesus' name? Amen. You are released.